Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We are talking Titans, and to help us do that, we go live to Minnesota and welcome in our friend Jared Stillman to the program, who's out there for the Titans and the Vikings with their joint practices, preseason game coming up this Saturday. Jared, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing outstanding, especially after the news yesterday that it was only a sprained LCL, which I didn't even know existed. I knew about the ACL, the PCL, the MCL, but I did not know about the LCL. But to know it's only a sprained LCL for Treylon Burks as opposed to any of the other CLs was a refreshing end to the Stillman and Company program after what was a very roller coaster like day emotionally for Titan fans.
You never heard of the LCL before?
No. Not a doctor.
Okay. It's a sports injury. That's not that uncommon.
I was just glad.
I know, but I think it is pretty uncommon. Robbie, how often do LCL injuries come up?
It doesn't happen very much.
Not nearly as much as ACL, for sure.
I mean, like, you're a beat reporter who's been doing this for 20 years in football and basketball, so you probably cover, like, 200 athletes a year. So, like, the LCL maybe comes up, you know, once every 3 years of those 300 athletes. But for the rest of us, I mean, the LCL is really not. Again, I've never heard of this LCL. I'm not denying that it
this
exists.
Crazy LCL. What is, this isn't like there, some new
again, Dr. Joe. I mean, I will take your word for it that it's a thing. I mean, I'm not denying it.
Okay. By the way, another victory for Joe Rexroad yesterday in Jared versus Joe. So congratulations, Joe.
Wait, you don't want TD. You don't want TD judging these. You want to get done with that. You're not going to win many.
So much about this Michael Jordan Messi discussion, and then the Michael Jordan Michael Jackson discussion. I've been thinking about
You're
this
so
about
wrong.
Who's more famous. I mean, I think that overall Michael Jackson is more famous than Michael Jordan.
Okay,
but
it's a good admission.
In the late 90s, like 1997, 1998, I think Michael Jordan globally was more famous at that point than Michael Jackson.
Maybe.
I don't think so at all. But also, even Jordan at that point, again, I think Messi, and I'm basing this on, globally, Messi has been, Jordan certainly had become this huge star by then, but Messi has been the, right? I mean, I'm not a soccer nut. I don't have an EPL team, things like that. And yet, I don't seek it out a lot, it's the World Cup. I mean, Messi is ingrained in your head like as much as anyone in the planet to me.
I don't even know what kind of shoes Messi wears.
Well, then never mind.
Well, but I mean, like, Michael Jordan literally made Nike. Like, he made Nike.
Right. Yes. That's a huge marketing win, but it's still not everything we're talking about here. Right?
Whose shoes do Messi wear? The moment of truth for me.
Does he have his own?
Was
probably.
Yesterday, I'm sure he does. But yesterday, I went on Instagram, and Messi has like 450 million Instagram followers, and Taylor Swift has like 250 million, and it was like, that might be a little
dang.
Yeah, that's pretty
not
impressive.
That I base everything on Instagram followers, because, if that were the case, then I'd probably start my OnlyFans or something to get my followers up on Instagram.
Please.
But
this
the fact that, the content people really want. But, I mean, like, to have, like, double the amount of followers of Taylor Swift on Instagram is noteworthy.
So, Jared, take us through your day yesterday. I'll start with this. Your reaction when you saw on the field Treylon Burks go down, and your reaction at the end of your show yesterday where it came out that it was just the LCL.
Well, I mean, I think that Gentry Estes and I were on the defensive field, and we were the only two. And they sent Dwight Spradlin from Titans PR over. He says his plan was to always be there, but I think that because Gentry and I were standing atop the grassy knoll here at Vikings practice, that he was kind of sent over to monitor. And we were watching the Titans defense. Now, because we were standing on this hill, we could kind of see the offensive field, whereas if you were on the offensive field, you couldn't see the defensive field at all. And so we would see like Kyaris Jackson get loose for a big touchdown, or Colton Dowell got loose for a big gain. And so we'd see that stuff, but we were watching defense, and the Titans defense was just kicking that tush. I mean, the wind apparently was a factor for the Titans. I'm guessing it was a factor for the Vikings, because during one-on-ones, Gentry kept saying, man, these quarterbacks, even Cousins, are so inaccurate. So maybe that played something into it. Justin Jefferson had a drop. I mean, they picked off Cousins in 7-on-7, which, you know, that, you know, 7-on-7 is not a drill where they're supposed to intercept the quarterback. They picked him off in the 2-minute drill. The defense did. So I was just, you know, I went to Minnesota thinking, like, okay, we're going to see, like, is the Titans defense legit? You know, like, is this domination of the offense? Is this a defense is good or offense is bad? And we'll see when it's somebody else with a reputable offense. And the Titans defense did dominate Minnesota. And because I was standing on that grassy knoll away from the field for the most part, I could get a little bit more giddy than, say, I could when I'm standing on the sidelines and I have to kind of, you know, keep the emotions in check or else Paul Kaharsky is going to go crazy. So I was sitting over there with Gentry and I was enjoying watching the Titans defense because it is enjoyable to watch a great defense at work. And then all of a sudden we saw Burks get loose and then we saw Burks limp and then we saw Burks fire the football down in anger. And then we saw Burks have to be helped to the side where he laid down in front of this tent. And then we saw Burks have to be helped onto the cart. And at that point, I was like, all right, well, as much as talking about the defense is going to be was going to be a part of the show today, I think I know what the 2 o'clock topic is. And I sprinted down the hill and ran over towards where the cart was, honestly, just to see, like, what people were saying, if there was anything that they were going to be saying that, you know, I pick up on, give me a little hint here or there. But then the cart went away. And as is the case with practice, it moved on. But I mean, it put a giant cloud over the experience of practice for me, because I think we all know how big of a loss Treylon Burks would have been to the Titans. And when a guy gets carted off the field, I think we automatically, at least for me, go to worst case scenario. So then I was going through this roller coaster of, oh, no, like, go ahead and cancel the season, because if they don't have Burks or Hopkins, I don't really see them doing much. You'll probably win 9 games or something. But competing, I don't think they can do without Burks or Hopkins. And so then when I found out that it was just an LCL and it'll be a couple of weeks maybe, I thought that, you know, Ryan Tannehill talked about praying for him after practice and Kevin Byard said the same thing. And I guess the prayers worked and I was much happier and in a much better mood when I heard the LCL.
Thanks for reviewing every single thought that went through your head with us yesterday, Jared. What did you have for lunch?
Well, I just realized that I didn't pray for him, whereas the other two did and their prayers worked. And maybe if I had prayed for him, it would have only been like a day-to-day injury instead of a week-to-week injury.
Maybe. By the way, so someone on the text line at the beginning of the show said, I was just trying to find it. I couldn't find it, but you said something like, the season's over, hockey season's coming. Is that true? Did you get that far with it?
I said that if Burks is out for the – watching Burks fire that football down in anger and seeing them cart him off, like, it just made me want to just pack it up and go home. Like, all right. Well, and by the way, I'm having a great time. This Vikings facility is great. Joe, I think you know
is it,
this.
Is it Eden Prairie? I've never been to their facility. Eden Prairie, is that right?
It's in Eagan.
Oh, it's in Eagan? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it is humongous. It's gorgeous. Like, it's a great facility. I think, as you know, like, this part of the country this time of the year is wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, all these people in Minnesota are like, stay hydrated because it's really hot today. And we're all looking at each other like, ma'am, we're from Tennessee. Like, I think we'll be okay, ma'am. And so, I'm having a great time. And then Burks gets hurt. Defense is kicking butt. Burks gets hurt. I'm like, all right, cancel the season. Hockey season wins hockey. That's how I felt yesterday.
Jared, last thing here for you. How do you view the backup quarterback competition currently with Will Levis and Malik Willis? And how much stock do you put into these final two games? Obviously, you know, we see the preseason games and there's days and days of practices and, you know, joint practices with the Vikings, got the Patriots coming up. But how much stock do you put into the last two preseason games and where this quarterback competition currently stands?
Well, I mean, I would say that it's – you know, basically a tie. I did not see Willis yesterday, and TD said that Willis was absolutely outstanding. So I'm going to take his word take his word on it that Willis was outstanding. And one outstanding practice, I think it's so close that one outstanding practice from one guy could put him ahead. I didn't see it though. I think that the two preseason games are crucial. Really, the joint practice today and the two against the Patriots might be bigger. But then again, like, Tannehill won't play in those preseason games, and those guys will. I think a tie goes to Levis just because of his draft status, his contract status, and the fact that I think his game probably more mirrors Tannehill's than Willis. I had Levis just ahead of Willis barely after the first preseason game. If Willis had a great practice yesterday, like TD said, I'll take his word for it, then that would have put Willis ahead of me, ahead of Levis for me. Now, Vrabel said yesterday that I asked him, because Vrabel decided to talk at before practice.
Yeah.
And I'm like thinking to myself, okay, so what can I ask Vrabel that we can return on coming back from the breaks, you know, during the show? This was before Treylon Burks may have popped his knee or
Mike,
not.
Mike, if Treylon hurts his knee today, what would you say?
Yeah, right. And you know what? I should start asking questions like that if he wants to do this as like a way to keep him from not doing this. Like, ask him the most uncomfortable stuff just so, you know, coach, I got to prepare for my show. I'm just doing my job. But
would you subscribe to my OnlyFans?
I asked, yeah. on just to up my Instagram count. But I asked him about, you know, how important these joint practices were for Levis and Willis. And you will never guess what he said.
What'd he say?
Every day is important.
Yes,
for those
yes, yes, yes. Yes, there we go. That's right. Well, Jared, enjoy yourself in Minnesota for day two of joint practices today. Make sure you stay hydrated for the 75-degree temperatures that are going to be out there in Eagan, Minnesota today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, guys. See you.
All right, Jared Stillman with us here on the program. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. More coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they are referred to so often. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Thanks to Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment.
I got to make a quick response to someone on Twitter. So George Grisman, who sometimes responds on Twitter, the discussion earlier about the Titans and the defense and the Bengals, as he points out, you know, no Jamar Chase. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that's true. They didn't have Jamar Chase. The point I was refuting was the Titans were bad on defense last year.
Right.
I mean, I would call that a good defensive effort. I would still call that a good offense without Jamar Chase. I would call that a good defensive effort. I would call a lot of last year's performances good defensive efforts. I understand the numbers say they were last in pass defense, so I get that. And they certainly had some bad days, too. They weren't consistently good. But to say last year's Titans team had a bad defense, to me, is a complete inaccuracy.
Well, and now the question is, how good are they going to be this year? Because, I mean, Jared brought it up. You know, yesterday all the reports were that the Titans defense was dominating the Minnesota's offense. You know, how much does the wind have to do with that? I don't know. It's not like they're playing in a hurricane out there in Minnesota, but how much did the wind have to do with that? But the Titans defense has been pretty good all camp long to this point. And we know the talent they have. Jeffrey Simmons is out there, Kevin Byard's out there, and we know the players that they have on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, I'm wondering, could this be are they going to be like a top five defense? Like, how good are they going to be? Because if they're a top five defense, going back to the conversation we had earlier, that limits the pressure on the offense. Like, if you've got a top five defense out there, your offense doesn't have to light people up. Like, you know, we talked about getting to 23 points a game. Maybe you get to 22, 21, and you're winning 10 games this year. Like, how good is the defense going to be? Because they seem to be very confident right now with what they've been able to do to this point in camp.
I think top five is absolutely possible. I mean, you look around the league, there's a lot of other contenders to be top five defenses, right? But
sure.
I mean, they all have questions and uncertainties and variables, and health is probably number one for everybody. But, like, again, hashtag if healthy, and they don't have devastating injuries all over the place, I think they do have a chance to be top five. So I'm looking just real quick at last year. It's like they had a bad game against the Bills.
Yep.
They got a bad game against the Eagles. a bad game against the Jags at home.
The week after they fired the gentleman.
So they gave up 71 points in those 2 weeks to the Eagles and Jags. But, like, let's see. You know, 17 to the Colts, 17 to the Commanders, 10 to the Colts, 10 to the Texans, 20 to the Chiefs, 10 to the Broncos, 17 in Green Bay, 20 to those Bengals. Oh, by the way, they go to L.A., and it takes Justin Herbert with a crazy throw late so they can get to 17. I mean,
it was good defense.
Yeah, I mean, most weeks, and then, of course, at Jacksonville, it's 20.
Well, by the way, that was with Jeffrey Simmons playing on one leg the whole year.
Exactly. I mean, you start, they're 7-3, Autry gets hurt at Green Bay. That's another one with a cart where you thought, well, that's it, and he was able to come back eventually. But between that and Simmons, you took so that Simmons and then no Landry. So now let's take this defense, add healthy Simmons, healthy Autry, and Landry, and Arden Key instead of Bud Dupree, who here every once in a while shows up. I mean, you can see where it could take a jump, right?
Well, and then you've
got the secondary, by the way.
The secondary.
Is Hooker going to play? Is Fulton going to play? Is
Molden
matter?
A year two improvement? You know. Like, there's – it's not a hard sell to me to talk about the defense and how good they can be. Like, the one question mark – I shouldn't say the one. I have two question marks on defense. Number one is the secondary. You know, how good can they be if everybody's healthy, especially at corner? And number two is you do have two – whoever it ends up being – two new starting linebackers in there. And I know, you know, it's 2023 in the NFL. The days of Ray Lewis are gone and middle linebacker and all those things, and it's a different league now. But how good can their linebacker play be this year? Because I do think it still matters. Like, David Long Jr., when he was on the field, how good he was mattered for this Titans defense, and it's going to matter again this year. I don't know if they've upgraded there, if they've maintained there, if they're slightly worse there. The Monty Rice situation is pretty interesting. See what's going to happen there at linebacker. But those are really the two questions I have that stand out is how good are the corners when they're healthy and how good is their new crop of linebackers?
And that's the thing. Azeez Al-Shaair looks great.
Yep.
As much attention as Arden Key has gotten as an edge rusher, I think Al-Shaair looks really good. But I'm with you. I still want, you know, I want to see it in games. And absolutely, that defense last year with or without David Long, There was a difference. I did, in my mind, going to camp, I just kind of penciled in Monty Rice. Like, okay, it's his opportunity. And so that situation is not great. And it's a great story that Jack Gibbons has, you know, taken over the ones and all that. But is Jack Gibbons, you know, is he who you want as your starting linebacker in NFL defense? No, another guy, by the way, just on that front, who I thought I liked a lot last camp, then he got hurt. And in that preseason game, I know it's preseason and special teams and twos and threes, but Chance Campbell
looked good Saturday.
He can move pretty well, and he, you know, so at least they have, like, some bodies there, you know, if need be. But that's, look, that's a fair thing for sure. And, look, the corners, you know, I think Fulton is in line to have a good year. And I think the added weight has been good for him. And McCreary had his ups and downs as a rookie. I think it was more good than bad, but I still don't know, like, how good those guys are. Like, Sean Murphy, but, like, when they play teams with great receivers, you know, what is that? How do they match up? You know, I'm still not totally sure about that. But when you can affect the quarterback the way it looks like they're going to, those corners start looking a lot better.
No question about that. And, you know, the thing is, you look at the Titans schedule, you've got obviously New Orleans in week one and, you know, Chris Olave, and what's that going to look like? The Chargers in week two, the Browns in week three, and then there's Cincinnati week four. You're going to get a pretty good look early on at some good receivers early in the season if you're this secondary. So, you know, Fulton, how can he, in a contract year, what does his play look like? We've talked about him before. When he's on the field, you feel pretty good about it. Does that even increase this year? Does he become more of a number one shutdown corner in a contract year? And then what is Roger McCreary? Because I thought for the most part he was pretty good last year. I know that, you know, the Cowboys game specifically, he got picked on in that game and it didn't go well for him.
Later in the season, maybe hit a little bit of a wall, but he seemed to have more issues.
But I thought for the most part he was pretty good. So I feel good about him heading into this year. My question with him is, like, how good is he? Like, I feel confident that he's a good starting-level corner in the league. Is he more than that? Like, that's what I want to find out this year, is how good is Roger McCreary, and, you know, where is he going to play, all those things. But, you know, is he going to be inside, is he going to be outside, mixture of both? But I feel pretty good about him. Like, some of the conversation around him last year, I think most of it stemmed towards the end of the season and the Cowboys game and all those things. Like, I didn't really understand. I thought for the most part, number one, he was healthy and he was available every game, which is a feat on that defense last year.
Yeah.
And number two, I actually thought he was pretty good for the most part.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand the conversation around him at the end of last season.
And, you know, corners are – maybe it's not quite as severe as offensive linemen, but so often it's like they get noticed when they make a mistake, you know. And so that did happen with him. But, no, I agree. I think he's at least – good, solid player. And with him, like last year, remember it was kind of like, gosh, so who's better in the slot? Is it Molden or McCreary? And it didn't end up mattering because Molden got hurt. But Molden does have that physicality you like in there. And that was the thing with McCreary, you know. And I just can't – I don't have a great sense of that yet, but I know that that was a point of emphasis, that for him to be a little bit more versatile, because you do have to – if you're a nickel, you know, if you're in the slot, like, you do get involved in the run game a lot.
Oh, yeah. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Nashville SC match coming up against Inter Miami and Messi, and the ticket prices that are going along with it. Lots of people very unhappy with the ticket prices. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Ali Mukhtar has factored into 6 of the 13 goals they've scored as a team. He's got a chance here, lays this off, Sarac! Goal! Sam Sarac to give Nashville the lead in the second half. It's Mukhtar, the playmaker.
Big one coming up on Saturday between Nashville SC and Inter Miami CF in the League's Cup final at Geodis Park, Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Looking forward to that, Joe. I've already prepared my viewing area for the split screen. I got the Titans preseason game happening on one screen. Nashville SC on the other screen. I'm looking forward to doing that on Saturday night.
Are you going to, you know, point Allison more one way or the other, you know, the football or the soccer?
That's a good question. I mean, the Packers will be on at the same time, too.
Oh, geez.
So.
How are you going to handle that?
I don't know that I'm going to be able to access that game on Saturday night, so may not be doing that.
She can wear her Packers onesie, though.
She does have a few of those, so that will probably be on.
Packers and Vols onesies?
Yeah.
Galore.
Got a lot of those. I got a nice care package from the Preds, too, so she's got some Preds stuff.
Oh, that's good stuff. There you go.
But Nashville SC hosting Leo Messi and Inter Miami CF coming up on Saturday night, and lots of interesting things about this game. Number one, the matchup itself. Can Nashville SC, with the magical run that they've been on in the League's Cup, can they slow down Messi and Inter Miami CF and win this thing on Saturday? That's number one we're looking forward to. A lot of discussion yesterday, Joe. The tickets go on sale, and the prices yesterday were just outrageous. I mean, you're looking around for lower-level seats yesterday, and you're talking about like $2,000, $2,500 per ticket yesterday for the game on Saturday at Geodis Park. I'm looking right now, and I brought this up earlier, StubHub, the cheapest I can find right now is $405 per ticket, and then I'm on Ticketmaster, and the cheapest that I see on Ticketmaster is $468 per ticket. So it goes anywhere from like $450 to up around $2,500 or $2,300 plus is what the scale is on Ticketmaster on the website I'm looking at right now. So obviously you're talking about incredibly high prices for this game coming up on Saturday if you want to be in the building and watch the game in person. Lots of people very upset about that yesterday on social media, understandably so. What do you make of the hype around this game and also the ticket prices that are in conjunction with the match coming up on Saturday between Nashville SC and Inter Miami?
So, okay, what I need to know is, so what's face? Do we know what face? Because, look, I mean, this stuff, I mean, this is simple supply and demand. Once you get to the secondary market, I'm sorry, but that's just what it is, you know? So, like, but face, like, season ticket holders.
Well, I know someone who, and I don't know how they did it, but I guess you could, like, pay in advance or sign up in advance for the League's Cup and go all the way through, and they got theirs for this game for, like, $20.
Okay. Because season ticket holders, because, like you said, like, what you'd hate to see is if the people who are loyal followers who are every game, it's different because it's League's Cup, so it's not part of your, this was not on the schedule.
Right.
This is a dream for a club.
If it's,
to win all these and get to this and have Messi, you know, you can just imagine John Ingram just, you know, just
doing
dancing
cartwheels
around. Yeah. But that's my question is like, okay, so what? If you're a season ticket holder, because apparently you could opt in before the tournament.
Correct.
Which would have been like, I kind of, if you're a season ticket holder who didn't opt in before the tournament, I don't know. I mean, my sympathy's not super high. Like, you didn't know how far it would go, right?
I mean, it could have been one game, yeah.
Right. And so I suppose you could be like, well, what if I opt in and then maybe I can't afford all that? So, you know, I get that. But if face is reasonable for that person who did opt in, yeah, it's tough, kind of a tough break, right? I mean, other than that, it's supply and demand in the market. This is what it is. This is what Messi is. I mean, he's a one-man economy. So, but that I would like to know if that's how, like, they got it super cheap. If face for season ticket holders who decided to get in right away was reasonable, then I think everything's fine.
Well, I would love to know, like, if they made it to the League's Cup final and they were playing Philadelphia, right? What does the price look like? Like, it's probably high. It's a championship game. So it's higher than what it normally would be. How much is Messi? I mean, it's obviously an astronomical amount. But, like, I'd love to know specifically how much Messi is and him being here is affecting the market. And I said this earlier. Like, this is not it's not specifically a Nashville thing. Like, ticket prices wherever he goes around the MLS right now are skyrocketing.
Yeah, the one thing I do know is when he was – even announcing that he was signing in Miami for what it's worth, their ticket prices, because they're still kind of a bad team until they added a few people. Yeah, they were bottom of the barrel. So when he got to Miami, when they even announced that he was signing before they even showed him in person for the first time, their ticket prices jumped up to about $300 a game, roughly. That was the gross price, which is insanity for regular season.
Like, if they had Philadelphia Saturday, it'd be a nice little Saturday, but, like, you could come and have no problem getting in. So Derek says face value was $300 to $500 if you didn't opt in.
Okay.
If you opted in, you paid $18 per ticket for GA tickets.
That's what I was talking about. Like, my buddy opted in, and he paid, like, $20 after all the fees and everything.
Like, I'm sorry, but, like, you know, the thing is, like, if you're that loyal a follower and you can't anticipate, like, if you're that loyal a follower and it's not that expensive, I don't understand why you wouldn't have opted in. Like, because obviously you knew the possibility of some of these matchups, not even the Messi thing, but, like, playing Monterey, and, like, you know, like, it's a cool thing to have this tournament, right? So I don't understand why you wouldn't have opted in.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of games, so, I mean, maybe your schedule gets away.
But it may be one.
Well, maybe. And it got a texter that says, we didn't opt in because we couldn't go to any of the games before the finals. And season ticket holders got a code to buy before they were released to the public. Our $25 tickets in the supporter sections were $305 per ticket via the season ticket presale. Jeez.
Look, man, I get it, and that's too bad. For people who, like, circumstances just, you know, prevented you from getting in it, that's too bad. But, like, I can't. I mean, supply and demand is what it is.
I'm with you. I am really interested. Like, Michael brings this up and says, it's amazing to see how many tickets are for sale on Ticketmaster. Appears to be, like, almost half the stadium up for sale. I am interested, like, how full is this thing? I mean, it's going to be full, but, like, who's going to be there? Like, how many people are paying these prices to get in the building?
Well,
this is what I'm asking.
Well, I'll tell you what, because I do this. I just did this with Springsteen last week in Chicago. It's like, yeah, we'll wait till a couple hours before the show, and then we got awesome seats for. I mean, that's the good thing is if that's the case and they're hanging there right now, then Saturday afternoon, I bet you some of those $300 tickets are all of a sudden about $180. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, don't hold me to the numbers, but that's usually how it goes, right? I mean, eventually, it's like, okay, we got to knock this price down a little bit. Maybe that'll be the case. That would surprise me because of the frenzy over this. So maybe they did overprice it a little bit with that.
Scott in Hendersonville, you know, sends an email that he received in March about opting in. He said, "I'm going for $40. Here's the email from March that you got. I mean, if you timed it out right, it's if you opted in back then, it's great opportunities right now. Like, I would love to know, like, how many people, and I'm hoping, like, the sports fan in me is hoping that this is not very many people. The realist in me knows that there probably is a good amount of people doing this. How many people who opted in are looking at what these tickets are going for right now and saying, yeah, I think I might sell a couple, sell a couple tickets.
Hey, man, again, if you can pay for the whole year with one ticket, I can't blame people for that either.
We talked about this, and this is a much, it's a different example. It was a smaller scale than what we're talking about here with Messi and the prices that we're seeing. But remember, you know, when Tennessee baseball was on their run a couple years ago and trying to get into like the Tennessee Vanderbilt series or get into a series at, you know, at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. It was unreal what the ticket prices were to get in up there.
Yeah.
Wasn't as much as this, but it's just, to your point, supply and demand on the secondary market.
Yeah, so Scott sent this email on it, and he circled the thing that says, you know, you're already locked in to witness the first edition. Yeah, no actions required on your end. Your credit card will only be charged for the matches we host as we advance to the tournament. And, I would have opted in and then said, if it just doesn't work out logistically, then we'll try to sell the tickets to somebody. But then just in case, we got the tickets, so Scott's feeling pretty good, you know.
I mean, what an opportunity, though. Like, if you've opted in, or, I mean, if you're willing to pay what right now are just astronomical prices to get in the building on Saturday, which some people obviously will be based on the way the prices are going right now, what an opportunity for you to see your hometown team take on, in many people's view, the greatest soccer player to ever grace the face of the earth on Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty freaking awesome. Andrew says, Nashville SC fans, all year, no one cares or talks about us. This week, too many people want to go and tickets are too expensive. That's pretty funny, Andrew. However, I'm going to go back to Andrew to your text from yesterday because you have the history of text here.
Okay.
Bleeping awesome. Season's over in August. I pray my kids are never Titans fans. So you may have overreacted yourself a bit, Andrew.
Robert in Nashville says, I thought Taylor Swift was supposed to fix this. Talking about Ticketmaster. Taylor, what are we doing?
Bit of misery. Dilly dilly.
I'm really interested to see what that environment looks like on Saturday. Like, in all seriousness, like, you know, we had the text to bring it up. There are a lot of tickets for sale right now on the secondary market, on Ticketmaster. I have no doubt that the building's going to be full, and it's going to be wild out there. It's the prices right now. I don't know that I've seen something quite like this.
Hey, you know what? If it does work out that the market's a little bit inflated right now, that probably means a better environment Saturday. Like, the prices go down a little bit. Some people are like, okay, I'm in. Lock me in at 200. Lock me in at 160 or whatever. Or it may be past the great Poupon.
It is wild to think about, and somebody tweeted me yesterday with a photo of this. It wasn't that long ago. Like, the Nashville SC used to be Nashville FC, and it basically just was like a fan startup, and I know some people that were involved in that. And I think it was either 10 years ago or 9 years ago, like, they played their first road game in Tennessee, like the Vols Soccer Stadium, and there was like, you know, 45 people in the crowd. And now it's gone from that to an MLS franchise to now Lionel freaking Messi is coming in on Saturday. It's pretty sweet.
That is kind of sweet. Someone says real quick, secondary market. It's not the secondary market that's high. Game's not close to being sold out. 400 face value. Yeah, I mean, it's Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster.
That's true. I mean,
yeah.
Face value is what it is with the tickets that have not hit the secondary market. I'm talking about the secondary market, of course. Yeah, you know, the ticket. And I'm, there are plenty out there, right? Like, you can go to StubHub now or whatever and see. But that's a fair point. I mean, what if they, you know, it's a half-empty stadium. Boo, Messi, whatever. Titans preseason, let's put that on.
I have a feeling that's probably not going to be the case.
I think they'll probably fill the place.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745. We'll have Charles Robinson from 8 to 8:30 talking all things NFL, so looking forward to that as well. That's all coming up. We are your racing station, 1025-1063. The game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday for the Go Bowling at the Glen at 3 p.m. NASCAR on 1025-1063. The game is presented by O'Charley's. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Another day, stop playing us, man. We the Detroit Lions. We the Detroit Lions. Stop playing with us. I don't even watch TV, but I heard everybody already picked the Packers over us. Stop playing with us. That's all I gotta say, man. Don't let these tears fool you. It's all dog around this mug.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. A very fitting intro today with Jamal Williams, his all-time rant after the Detroit Lions took down my beloved Green Bay Packers last year.
Yeah. Yeah, what a thrilling moment in Lions history. Yeah. Don't make the playoffs, but yay. But I appreciate you playing that instead of me saying, I'm on a team that will not yield.
That's you still said fun. It right there.
Yes, I can't help myself. I am ranting kind of about the Lions today, but today my rant's about my Uncle Bill and Paul Kaharsky and the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
So, first of all, my Uncle Bill Pratt, great guy, lives in Florida with my grandmother, his mother. He's the oldest, my Uncle Bill. My grandma, 95 years old, still rocking and rolling, Phyllis. And, you know, she's a big Detroit Tigers fan, and she still watches them every day. But my Uncle Bill is the greatest Lions fan I know. And I'm here to tell you that it's okay for my Uncle Bill to be a Lions fan. Here's why. That family, my mom was the second oldest. They moved from Michigan to Canton, Ohio for a few years. And in that time, in the 1950s, the Detroit Lions were the toast of professional football. In fact, the Detroit Lions and the Cleveland Browns were the toast of professional football, and they met often for championships, for the world championships of the NFL. This was before the Super Bowl, but they were championships, my friend. And the Detroit Lions and Cleveland Browns met, and of course, if you're a young school child in Ohio at that time.
What a matchup.
I know. How about that, right? This is the glory days of the NFL, okay? And if you're a young Bobby Lane and I think Otto Graham, right? Yeah, Otto Graham. You're a young school kid from Michigan in Ohio at that time. Just imagine the trash talk going on at school on a daily basis. Oh, yeah. So my Uncle Bill, long story short, was in second grade, and he got to, because back then, like, the championship was in, like, December, you know? Like, they didn't get to the new year before they settled this thing. He got to go in second grade. He's told me this story. And he got to go to school and talk trash to all these Browns fans because the Detroit Lions beat the Cleveland Browns for the championship. And I've always, because of that, even though I ended my Lions addiction long ago and went to a fulfilling life of making fun of the Detroit Lions, he has a Lions license plate on his thing. He always had season tickets when he lived in Michigan. And I said, good for you. You've seen them win a championship.
You've enjoyed a championship.
You should absolutely live out your life loving the Lions, and he does.
Absolutely.
And good for him. So Paul Kaharsky, the NFL Hall of Fame committee, you know, they all have to take – basically this committee, I think it includes like Peter King's on it and whoever. Like, it's like 12 people, and they all have to take a person every year as a contributor. And, of course, you know, Bud Adams is someone who – I think PK has argued his case for. They've taken contributor every year, and they have to build a case for the contributor. And so he told me when he was filling in for you, you know, Buddy Parker, coaching those Lions teams to championships. And I said, PK, my Uncle Bill, was a beneficiary. That was a great moment in his life. And he said, give me his number. So PK went into that Hall of Fame committee, and he led with my Uncle Bill.
Yes.
And Buddy freaking Parker got in the Hall of Fame. Gosh darn it.
He did.
And I tell you what, maybe it is a new era for the Detroit Lions. My Uncle Bill got Buddy Parker in the Hall of Fame via Paul Kaharsky, and I think the Lions are winning the freaking Super Bowl this year. The end.
This is a great story. It really is. He's in the Hall of Fame, and maybe this is the magic elixir that the Detroit Lions have been searching for decades.
Maybe it is. Like, I really want to see. I mean... I'd like to know, in all seriousness, like if that he didn't happen to mention that to me and I didn't give him my Uncle Bill, like
would he be in the Hall of Fame?
Like, did my Uncle Bill actually make the difference? And they were like, oh my God, this guy, Uncle Bill, sounds amazing. Buddy Parker, you're in.
So let me ask you this. You had this conversation here in the studio.
Yeah.
Is the Robbie and Rex Road program responsible for a Hall of Fame induction?
I think we also get some credit as well.
I mean, I wasn't here, so I won't take any credit.
But of course, this will be in Canton. Back, that's where he was in elementary school,
yeah.
Talking trash to those Canton kids about the Lions over the Browns. Life comes full circle.
This
everybody.
Could be my favorite story you've ever told. This could be the greatest Rex fan of all time.
It's amazing. Like, PK texted me, I guess, was it 2 days ago? He's like, he's in, buddy's in. You know, I'm like, what? And I'm like, so wait, did you use Michael Bill? He's like, I led with Uncle Bill. Holy crap. Good job, Uncle
Bill.
That's
amazing.
Go Lions. I hope I do. You know, look, I cannot, if the Lions win a Super Bowl in my lifetime, I cannot enjoy it. I have disavowed the Lions. But I will feel good for people, especially like Uncle Bill, who have been with them this whole time. So I do hope it happens.
I hope it happens, too, at some point. Even as a Green Bay Packers fan, I would love to see at some point, maybe not now, but at some point, the Detroit Lions break through. I feel like it's a fan base that deserves it.
I think so, too. Why does Herb from McEwen say, y'all better stop drinking before the show? What about during the show, well, Herb? Is during okay?
Before is not the problem. I'm looking at the odds right now, Joe. There are, let's see here, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams. Only 8 teams that are ahead of the Detroit Lions for Super Bowl odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Kansas City, Philadelphia, Buffalo, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Dallas, Baltimore, and the New York Jets. Those are the only teams that have higher Super Bowl odds than the Detroit Lions this year.
So I will say, you go down that list of the usual suspects, and then you start talking Dallas and New York Jets, and I'm like, yeah, I'm just almost as dubious of them as the Lions, you know? So
that means the
I guess it's fine.
Detroit Lions have the fourth highest odds as we sit here today in the NFC to win the Super Bowl.
Which tells you a little bit about the NFC, doesn't it?
I actually think they're going to win the division. I really do. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to host a home playoff game, and we'll see where it goes from there.
I love my Uncle Bill, and I'm talking about him, so I'm just going to hold my opinion on what they're going to do to myself. I'm not going to say how they're going to go 6-11 to finish last.
Well,
I'm sorry, Uncle Bill. I'm sorry.
Okay, so let's say they break through this year, not win the Super Bowl, but let's say they get to the playoffs and win a playoff game, which, by the way, hasn't happened since when? When's the last time they won a playoff game?
1991 season, January of 92, yeah. So, they killed the Cowboys. I was like, oh, they're going to dominate the Cowboys.
I was born in 1992, a little bit later that year. So I was not alive
the
last time the Detroit Lions won a playoff game.
I was in a dormitory having a time of my life watching that one.
I'm sure you were. So let's say they win a playoff game this year. Is that officially it, that your uncle has broken the curse, the generational curse of the Detroit Lions?
Well, I mean, I think you got to win it, don't you? I mean, the playoff.
And they haven't won a playoff game in 31 years.
I know. But it's an incredible stat. It's hard to believe. But you don't break the curse until you actually win the thing, right?
I guess not.
So
could be waiting a while.
Yeah, I know.
Hendon Hooker, get in there at some point.
Yeah. Well, it may absolutely. I mean, I like that pick. So maybe down the road.
This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, potentially the best Rex Rant of all time. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by our good buddy Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get his thoughts on all things NFL, his thoughts on the Titans and Treylon Burks and more. We'll do that coming up next. Make sure you join 1025-1063 The Game at Door Jam this Saturday, celebrating Vanderbilt sports at the David Williams Recreation Center. The fun kicks off at 2 p.m. and will include autograph sessions, photo booths, and lawn games. Head on out there to support Vanderbilt athletics as fall sports return here in just a couple weeks. And Vanderbilt football back in action a week from Saturday. So looking forward to that. You're listening to Robbie and Rexrode, 1025-1063 The Game.